I welcome you one more time to this time of meditating God's Word. Today we are going to continue with the idea of recognizing how the prophecy is being fulfilled, and we can see around us those events, and we have to recognize and we have to see what the Bible says about them. But we are going to go step by step. First of all, I would like you to come with me to the book of Timothy, or the letter of Timothy, first letter of Timothy, in the third chapter, and we are going to be reading verse 14 and 15. And it says this way, "Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you this instruction so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." Here in Timothy, Paul says, this is how you had to conduct yourself. And the whole letter is giving a lot of instruction. And many things that he said is talking about how things are going to be in the last days. But let's start by seeing what he said about the house of God. He said the house of God is the church. And that is where you are going to find the foundation and pillars of the truth. Now, when you search in the whole world, when you listen, where is truth going to reside? According to the word of God and the house of God. And where is that? The church. That is where the pillars are, the foundation. Don't search for truth any other place, because you are not going to find it. Why we said that, or why the word tell us that the pillar and the foundation of the truth is found in the church? Because who is the builder? Who built the house for God? Just remember, I know you know by heart, but we are going to be reading in the Gospel of John, in the chapter 14, and I'm sure by this time you already know in your heart that I'm talking about verse 6. And what tell us in the Gospel of John in this verse? Jesus answered, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life." Then the pillars, the foundation, is based in the person of our Lord Jesus. He said, "I am." And he go and says, "No one can come to the Father except through me." It's possible the other people may think or teach or declare that you can come to God the Father by the means of other forms. But this is very important declaration of our Lord when he said, you cannot come to the Father. See, we are talking about the house of God, that is the church. And remember last week I mentioned how they are building this center to bring all religion in the world all together. And Abu Dhabi, these three buildings, one for Christianity, one for Jews, and one for Muslim, and they are working together doing this because they say no matter where you are, you can come to the Father. When we look into those news and when we hear those messages, and our heart and our mind has to come this word of Jesus, "I told you ahead of time, no one can come to the Father except through me." Because the foundation or the pillar, the sustained truth, are in the church. But when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about an institution. I'm talking about what Jesus built. He is the one who tell us that if you really, I continue reading verse 7, "If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." You have to know me. All our desire and all our efforts has to go in this direction, to know Jesus. And what is to know Him? Is to know what He has declared, what He has stand for. He is the one that say, I am the truth. When we go to Matthew, in Matthew 16, we have here Jesus having a conversation with those that are close to Him, His disciple. And He present then this question about His person. And Jesus said to the 12 in verse 15, but what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? At this question, we always noted how Peter liked to always be very upfront, and his character is this kind of a man that had things very clear in his mind. Sometimes it bring trouble for himself, but okay. Look what Peter replied to Jesus. In verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the one that was announced by the prophet to come and to bring salvation to Israel. It was clear in his mind. Remember, Jesus mentioned, if you knew me, you are going to know the Father. Well, Peter said very clear, there is no doubt who you are. But that revelation, they was so clear for Peter, as we continue reading, is not going to be clear for everybody. But look what the Lord says to Peter. In verse 17, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven. What are we seeing here? When we put together the belief that Jesus is the Messiah, is the Christ, is when you receive the confirmation in your heart that you receive the revelation from God that you are right. Because we can start to ask ourselves, what was it first? Was the revelation first? And that is why Peter was able to see clear? Or was the acceptance of Peter that Jesus was the Messiah, I do believe, and then he received the revelation. When I look into this and say, it's my Father who revealed that to you. I cannot picture the Father, like many times I says, having all of us against the wall and say, okay, you Peter, yes, John and Andrew, but not to you, Judas. Why Peter received the revelation and why other disciples that were there did not receive revelation? It has to do a lot with our faith, with our acceptance of what God has said. The pillar, the foundation, because if I'm talking about how my faith and the truth is being built up, I need to remember what the word tell me. How my faith come? My faith come by hearing the word of God. I have to have an ear willing to listen. If I have an ear that reject, then my faith cannot be built. But in the minute there is an ear that is willing to listen, then what happened? God can give me more revelation. And then my faith become stronger and stronger and stronger. By that I mean more and more convinced that the truth is in Jesus. And Jesus is the one who is building the house where the pillar and foundations of truth reside. The verse 17 we read, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven. The gospel of the truth cannot be revealed by men. It is true that God used men. He rise in the church, he rise pastor, evangelist, teachers for the building of the church. You remember The word of Peter talking with Jesus on the beach when the Lord said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Of course, Lord, I love you. Feed my lamb. Three times the Lord asked him to do it. But when we read here, Peter can be feeding the lamb of God, the people, but the revelation of that truth of what Peter is saying has to come from the Father. Then is the Father who is working here in you and your heart. Is the Father who is looking into your ears, seeing what do you do with what you heard. Do you believe it or you do not believe it? Because for God, he will do like he has said, the one who has more will be given unto him. But that they do not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. You have to have an ear willing to listen. And then it is God himself who is going to teach you. I agree. He's going to use men. And another thing we need to be careful with our ear is, what do you believe? If you believe everything that is being said, or if you have come to a maturity. Yesterday, I was looking into the word maturity in the book of Hebrews, because the author of Hebrews says, you are still baby and you need milk, because I can see that you cannot have solid food, because solid food is for the mature. And then when I was looking into what is a person that has become mature, and Hebrews said, the one that by the training is capable of discerning between the good and evil. There is no confusion there. That is maturity. And why we see so many babies that need milk? Because they don't have clear the cut. Where is what is good and where is what is evil? Then we have to go by training our ears, because ears are the first they are going to hear the message, and the message is going to be very twisted. Our brother, when he has been sharing with us in the past weeks and talking about Adam and Eve and how the serpent and his cunnings deceive Adam and Eve by telling them, oh, God is so bad that you cannot trust him, and put the seed, the words of doubting God. Well, you have to remember, when you hear things, if that that is coming to us is a covering with evil or with a lie. That is why the foundation, the pillars, are on the church. And in the church is where truth has to be speaking or shared. In this chapter 13 of Matthew, we have a parable in verse 47. It's talking about fishermen, and how the Lord compared the kingdom of heaven to the labor of these fishermen. Let's read it. We are Matthew 13, verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kind of fish. When it was full, the fishermen put it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in basket, but they threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angel will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The kingdom is like a net, and this is what is happening today. The net has been thrown into this world, and it's going to caught all kind of fish. When it's full, the scripture said it's going to be full out to the soul. But before this action take place, you know what is happening? The net is full of bad and good. They are going to be all there, each of them proclaiming their ideas. I need to be sure, because I'm there also, and that net I am there, I need to know very clear and make distinction what is truth from what all the other fish are saying. Because we are together and we know the time of separation is coming. What make the difference when that time arrives? One are going to be collected and basket because they are appreciated. They are good. But the others are going to be thrown. They are going to be rejected. And then they are going to say, "Ooh, God is so bad. He rejected me. Is God that bad?" Or has something to do with our nature, our condition. When we are in the net, we need to think, where is my position? Because I am desiring. If I wanted God give me revelation and lead me into the truth, where I need to go? To his house. Because it's there where the truth, where the foundation, where the pillars are. I have to make a choice. I need to choose to listen to the one that told me, "I am that way. They will lead you to the Father." See, it's not the Father who is going to reject us when we are in the net. But he's going to be seeing who of those wanted a relationship with him and who of those say, "I don't want it to follow anything that you say. I have another plan." Because obviously during that time, you can plan. I am the net, but I can have my plan. And my plan, my desire is to draw near to God, draw near to the truth. When I come and I make that choice and I choose God, when the time for searching the net, you know what he's going to do. You are not going to be surprised that he will choose you for his basket because you choose him first. Now, let's go back to our Timothy after we say this. I wanted to say something else before we go there. This is in the book of John in chapter 6. In the verse 63, the Lord is speaking to the disciple and he is declaring the nature of the word that he has been saying. We already established that he said that I am the truth. Then truth is not something that is material without breath. Truth is something that is alive because Jesus is very, very alive. In fact, we have seen it from the beginning when God was creating the world and he spoke the word. And then the Spirit who was hovering over the waters went forth and produced life according to that word that came out of God's mouth. Then the word is living. And because it's living, it can produce life. When we are talking about pillar or foundation, we are talking about something that is alive. We are not talking about a rock, a stone, or a brick. We are talking something alive. With this in mind, we can read verse 63. It says, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The word I have spoken to you are a spirit and they are life." Then, when we are talking about how God bring us revelation, because we heard Jesus saying, "Peter, you are blessed because this revelation has brought to you by my Father. You have not learned this by any man." All right? We see here is the Spirit that gives life. And what is what Jesus did? He is the one that made possible for the Spirit to come to us. After he was resurrected, he spent a few days with the disciple, and then when he was ready, he went back to the Father declaring, "It is good for you that I go, because if I go, I will send to you the Holy Spirit," the promise of the Father. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, come to us and make all those words that Jesus said alive in us. That is the revelation. The revelation make my understanding to receive assurance. Yes, that is how it is. Now, surprising enough, look the verse, the following verse. 64. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who will betray him. We have seen already about the net. The net collect all kind of fish. But you are going to have fish like Peter, who is going to say, yes, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And believe. But then you are going to have those that Jesus said, but I know you do not believe. They are all together in the net. But there is a difference. Those that are like Peter and those that are like the rest. And we continued reading here. In verse 65, he went on to say, this is why I told you no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. You can see how in my mind I have been putting this into, it's like a circle, but I would like to have it flat to be able to see it clearly. Because Jesus said, you cannot come to me unless the Father bring you. But the Father is not going to bring you unless you believe. This is what I want to be flat. What is first? When I listen, the word I say to you are spirit and they are life. Do you believe that? Yes, Lord, I do believe the word you tell me are the truth. Who am I? You are the Messiah. I believe you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Then that is where I see the Father bringing you to him, is bringing you to the church, bringing you into the basket of good fish. What happened with the rest? We already know. Verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer follow him. And to me, that is sad. Because all has the opportunity to hear the same message. But one didn't believe, one didn't accept it, and turned around. But this that you see here is happening today. I need to say that even though they turn around, that doesn't mean they are out of the net. They are acting, ignoring, paying no attention to what God says. But still, they are in the net. Now, we can go back to Timothy, as I said before. The Spirit is the one that gives life. We were dead in our sin and our rebellions. And the Spirit helped us to hear God's calling to repentance. And we respond to that calling by saying, yes, I wanted to repent. And Timothy chapter 4, very close to the place where we start reading about the church, the house of God. And chapter 4, verse 1 says, the Spirit clearly said that in the later time, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirit and things taught by demons. You know, things has not changed from the time of Peter to our days. Why we read that from that time on, many of the disciples turned around and left? Because they were listening demons, spirits of darkness. And when you listen to these spirits, they will create confusion. They will put doubt in your mind that the truth, the foundation, pillars are not God's word. That because the word is alive, is not Jesus. They become convinced that Jesus is not the Messiah. That Jesus is not Son of the living God. And they start to believe others. Paul writing to Timothy say myths, other stories. But all these things is happening inside of the net. Is this the showing that it's a failure? That the church of God is being, what is the word I'm looking here for? It's being deteriorating? I don't think so. You remember in that passage, I think we jump it. We never read it. But when Jesus was telling Peter, the blessed you are, Peter, because this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father. And the verse continued saying, and I'm telling you that in that truth, I'm building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The church is building in such a foundation, the gates of hell cannot prevail. And what is the gates of hell? The lies, the teaching of these demons. They cannot prevail against the church. But you can look around and say, well, the Bible say, Jesus say, they cannot prevail. But we are seeing so many turn it around and abandon the faith. The word here in Timothy is apostasies. They translated in English abandon. And it's a good word, okay? The apostasies is a time where the people turn around. And the Spirit referred to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying, this is coming. Then what you are seeing is what the Holy Spirit already said they will take place. You can say, this is a step prior to pull the net to the shore for separation, the good from the bad. And it's important that my understanding of the situation is, no, the church is not crumbled down because the foundation cannot be moved because the gates of hell cannot prevail. Then what I'm seeing is everyone taking positions, because the time that comes after this is going to be a sorting sign. Now, here give you a couple example, but this is not the only doctrine of demons. If they said, verse 2 says, such teaching comes through hypocritical liars, whose conscience has been seared as with an hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain food, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. It's so funny because I think it was only a few weeks ago, this summer, when we had this minister and our governor coming out to speak to the people in Spain, do not eat red meat because it's not good for your health. And there was a little bit of mockery that he has to be the one telling the people this thing, when previously in his wedding day, he has very nice pieces of beef for the guests. And the reporter were asking, if you know the and said the beef is not good for you and you serve it to your guests, are you telling me you are trying to kill them? Why we hear these things? Because we don't need to wait for the end time. We are living on it. That is why we are going to see these announcements done. Forbid to marry. Well, they put it in the other way around. The best thing now is not to get married. It's just let's try live together. And if we think that it works, we continue. If not, then you go in your way and I go my way. It's some kind of trying to depart from what God says. Man shall leave mother and father, father and mother, and unite to his wife and become one flesh. And what God joined, let no man separate it. But the doctrine of demons are not going to be in agreement with God's word. And we can continue it, seeing many of these doctrine of demons. They come through teachers whose conscience has been seared with a hot iron. That is the point. Their hearts are senseless. They have no feelings. There is no space for God's word. And like we said last week, the word repentance is not even in their vocabulary. But in spite of this, that we are seeing the great apostasy or abandon the faith, that is only telling us how close we are for the net being pulled out to the shore. But what else should I expect now that I see the great apostasy? Paul tells us we should expect something more, but we need to go to the letter he wrote to the Church of Thessalonians. In Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and 2nd chapter, he used the word apostasy again. And it tells us You know, when we are talking about the net to be pulled out, I do believe it's going to happen with the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that is where the angels are going to put the good fish and basket, or the angel are going to get the wheat and the granary and the tares to be burned with fire. Here in chapter 2, verse 3, he said, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way," because we are going to be hearing a lot of doctrine taught by demons here, where you have to be mature. You cannot afford any longer continue drinking milk. You may think the milk is good, and I agree with you, but it's time that we have also solid food. Our discernment between what is good and what is evil has to be spotless. It cannot be. They might tell us, "Oh, everybody accept it." Or they might tell us, "It feel good, do it." But you know better, because you have a foundation, you have pillars in this building that cannot be moved. What is wrong 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago is still wrong today. What is evil has not changed, and what is good has not changed. And I don't care how many people do it. It's not "it feel good, do it." It's right, then do it. But if it's not right, then don't do it. Because what you're going to lose is a lot. Because it's your position. I didn't go very far in verse 3. "Do not let anyone deceive you, for that they will not come until the rebellion occur and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction." Okay, here they use the word rebellions, but the original word is apostasy. Again, abandon, left behind. Now, it is a good translation. It's a good word, I should say, rebellion. Yes. But why is rebellion? Because they are turning and listening doctrine of demons and abandon the faith, the foundation, the pillars, the word they are spirit and life. And when you abandon that, then you are entered into the rebellions. You remember, it was in Timothy, but in the third chapter, we read very often, the character of men in the last day, lover of themselves, not lover of God, lover of pleasure more than lover of what is right. Well, we don't need to wait any longer for that kind of society, because it's here in our midst. The word announced it, and we are living it. We are eyewitnesses, okay? But what happened when the apostasy or the rebellion take place? Then, that's the territory for the man of lawlessness or the man of sin be revealed. What should I expect next? This gentleman, I'm calling gentleman, but I don't think he has much gentleman in his being. Why? Because in verse 4 says, "He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he set himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God." That is the character of this man, very proud man, and he's going to be followed by the proud people. You can see how they are making their choice. We talked before. Like, you are making your choice to listen to Yeshua as the Messiah, and to believe it, that the truth is in the church, and to believe it. They are making their choice too. But that is what I suspect next, because the rebellion, the apostasy is here in our midst. And though demons are working hard to bring our society into this confusion and into this belief that the net is ours and we can do whatever we want in it. Even we can oppress those that believe in Yeshua, and we can try to destroy them. Do you think for a moment they perceive that they are into this net? No. You are the one that has the knowledge. Because who revealed these things to you? God the Father. And why you receive revelation? Because you have an ear to listen. Then you are receiving more. But the one that do not listen, they think this is going to be our good fortune. This is going to be our wish, desires. And we are going to prosper, and this is going to continue like this forever. But as we continue reading, verse 5, don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he might be revealed at the proper time? Holding him back for the proper time. The Holy Spirit is holding the man of lawlessness to be revealed because his time, he has a proper time to be revealed. And until that arrives, nothing is going to move. But the proper time, remember what the Holy Spirit says for the last days? The proper time has come. That is why we are seeing it. We are seeing what the Holy Spirit said they will take place. And now, and verse 7 says, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Obviously, we saw disciples turning their back on Jesus and say, we can't believe all this. The secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue doing so till he is taken out of the way. It's going to come a moment when the Lord said, by his Spirit, free way. Go ahead. Now is your time. That reminds me the very time when Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, talked to the crowd and he said, you have come to me with sticks and weapons as if I am a criminal? I was every day with you teaching in your synagogue and the temple and you didn't arrest me there. No, because the hour has not arrived. This is your hour. This is the hour for darkness reign. And that is why he allowed himself to be arrested, because it was the hour of darkness. The same thing here. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, they know when is the hour, and then they are going to. And when is going, when I start to think in how God thinks, what hour is that one? Because I know he is merciful. And I was reading in the scripture yesterday that the will of the Father is for every man to come to repentance and be saved. Then he's going to wait to the very last minute until he sees no one else wanted to continue listening to him. I mean, he's going to have the one that he has. He's talking about the others, trying to bring them back. Listen, listen. No. Okay, that is the moment when God sees no one else is willing to listen to him. The rebellion occurs. The apostasy takes place. The man of perdition is revealed. Verse 8 says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, who the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. He already told us the truth. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Do not let yourself be deceived. They are not going to prevail. It's interesting when we listen to them talking today, they talk about we are in control. We are doing what we wanted. And if you don't like it, tough for you. But no one is going to stop us. It's like Satan himself. He was the father of lies and he deceived himself only. But these people deceive themselves only. Because the Lord is going to destroy him. But before that takes place, what should we expect to see? We should expect in verse 9, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kind of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. And if you can look outside, you can perceive how our society is turning more and more into a spiritual society with feelings of superiority, of we are the most... when they talk about democracy and they talk about the accomplishment, they talk about with this greatness, what kind of society we have built. Or right now with the imposition of this new religion of, how do you say that in English? Calentología is Spanish. La calentología is the religion that proclaim the climate changing, the warming of the climate. But it's a religion. You have to be such a believer in all these things, because when you listen to the so-called expert, they do not are in agreement among themselves. All right? But yeah, this is happening, but we are going to save the planet, because we are so great and awesome that we don't need a Messiah. We are. Do you remember what we read about this man? In verse 4, I repeat it. He set himself up and got stamped, proclaiming himself to be God. That is why they proclaim they are going to save the planet. Because if he is God and his follower believe the this kind of leaders, because right now they are very unhappy with the present leaders, because they are not doing enough and they are very relaxed. But you can see how our society has been prepared to welcome with tambourine and trumpets this guy, this son of perdition. Yes. Great miracles, signs, wonder will be performed, and our society will bow down in those signs, or before those signs and wonder. But you were already taught. Then those things should not impress you whatsoever. Like Revelation said, even if fire fall from heaven into earth before man, don't go after them. Don't join them, because you know the end of this story. You know the last chapter. These are the work of Satan display. We read it in verse 10. And every kind of sort of evil and deceive. That is what it is. They call, this is the prophecy of Isaiah, when he said the time is coming when they will call the sweet bitter. They will call the dark light. This is what they are trying to do now. Everything that was considered right, now they call it wrong. And everything that is wrong, they are calling right. But all that kind of evil, verse 11, for this reason, God sent them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. And so they all be condemned, who had not been believed in the truth, but had delight in the wickedness. You remember what I told before? We were talking about when God is going to have that time. Consider that now is the time for the son of lawlessness to be revealed. It's verse 11. Why God sent then a powerful delusion? They had rejected the truth. Okay? In verse 10. Why they perish? Why they perish? They refuse to love truth. They refuse to come to the foundation, the pillars of truth that are in God's house. See, that is the first step. When you refuse to love the truth, when you rather to be lover of themselves than lover than God, lovers of pleasure, lovers of evil, and instead of what is right, then is when they receive this delusion, a powerful delusion, so that they will believe the lies. That is why when you hear them talking, they talk with this security or with this, what word to use here? Conviction. They don't know they are listening doctrine of demons. They are so convinced that they are willing to kill. At least that is what the Lord said to us in John. The day is coming that whoever kills you will think is giving a service to God. But obviously, this guy, they sit in the temple of God and proclaim himself God, is a counterfeiter. He is not the true God. But they think they are serving God. This is what you are going to see outside and not very long. The power of the delusion that God sent to them to believe the lie so that they will be condemned who had not believed the truth. It was not just in Jesus' time when sun turned around. Those that do not believe the truth, they wanted to delight in wickedness. That is why they cannot accept the word repentance, because their pleasure is not in truth. The pleasure is in wickedness. It's incredible. But that is what we are witnessing. The very things that the word taught us will take place. Then I'm going to finish with this verse here. Verse 13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brother, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctified work of the Spirit and through belief and the truth. Of course, God chose you because you wanted repentance, because you wanted truth, because you listened to the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has been working in you because you need to know and you will know and understand this God who made you holy. For this reason, he called you to this through our gospel. Okay? The gospel is the good news that is proclaimed in the church of God. And the house of God that is the church is a living house. That you might share in his glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the last stage when the net is pulled out to the shore and you are put into the good basket. That is when you share God's glory. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teaching we pass unto you, whether by the word of mouth or by letter. Stand firm, because no, the church is not being crumbled down. The church is not destroyed. What we are witnessing is a separation. Everyone making their stand. Take a position. Like the Lord says in Revelation, I wish you will be hot or cold. Be for me or be against me. Do not look warm. Do not. That is what we are witnessing today. Then be firm, because your foundation cannot be destroyed by the powers of hell. May the Lord bless you and keep you and keep shining for your Lord, Yeshua. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for being so good to us and for giving us your revelation, your word truth. We depend on you. Thank you for keeping our eyes, yes, and our ears open to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Without you, we would be lost. But now with you, we know that we are safe. In Jesus' name, amen.